Today's shiur is the Haftorah for Parshas Zohar. The famous story about Shaul is commanded to wipe out Amalek, and he does not do what he was supposed to, and it's a crucial Haftorah that we learn every year, right before Purim. Today's shiur is Lili Nishmas, Mrs. Bela Meller, Bela Bas Tzvi Chaim Halevi, whose yahrzeit is this coming week, Yud Aleph Sivan. She was Moiser Nefesh for Torah and Chesed. We begin with a Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Dalid, Pasuk Mem Zayin, which is actually where we left off the last year. And but we'll see these psukim sort of give us the background for the Haftorah, which is basically Perek Tezvov. But once again, we're up to Perek Yud Dalet Pasuk Mem Zayin. We just learned about how Shaul, he started out with 600 men, and the Plishtim had their tremendous army. And Yonah's son and his Nar went and made a surprise attack to the Plishtim. I mean, he appeared to them, but when they said to come up, he came up and sparked the whole rout among the Plishtim. And the Yidden won the war. And Yonason tasted from the honey, and he would have been Chayiv Misa, but the people redeemed him, they were Mater Neder. V'Shaul Lochad HaMeluch Al Yisrael. Shaul consolidated, he captured the Malchus. He was now the absolute king. We learned before it started off on shaky ground, but even after the Yidden accepted him, it wasn't till this last battle with the Plishtim. Now finally Shaul Lochad HaMeluch Al Yisrael. Shaul consolidated, he was the absolute king over Klal Yisrael. It's just a few words, those five words, but there's a lot that goes into that. You know, imagine if you had every shevet was like a unit for itself. And now what he's taking is the separate shvatim that are all separate little groups, and he's making a nation out of them. Like, you know, Lahavdil, when the United States started, all the states have to make a federal government. All of a sudden, it's not every shevet by itself, and when they're threatened, the shofet is going to arise, and they'll get together the men. This is now a national government. It's a totally different form of rulership, but he was accepted as the king, and he now had a control over the country, over the people. And he fought all around with all the different enemies. B'moav, uv'yivnei Amon, uv'edom, uv'malchei Tzova, the kings of Tzova, uv'aplishtim, uv'chol asher yifna, wherever he turned, Yarshia, he struck terror in his enemies. And you see how many different countries there are, and of note is the fact that he was only king for 2 years. This happened in a very short span of time. It could be this all happened in 1 year before the battle we're going to learn about with Amalek. Vayas Chayil, he gathered an army. Vayachas Amalek, and he struck Amalek. Vayatzos Yisrael Miyad Shoseo, and he saved Klal Yisrael from its oppressor, from the one who would plunder and take what the Yidden had. But by striking Amalek, he gave relief to the Jewish people. Meforshim learn that the Radak mentions this pasuk is referring to the battle we're going to have. But since these psukim are like summing up the accomplishments of Shaul's Malchus, or the wars that he fought, we're going to mention the war that's going to happen. And in this pasuk, you see the complaint against Shaul. Shaul fought Amalek, and he saved the Yidden from those who were oppressing them. The truth is, that was not the purpose of the Battle of Amalek. He was not fighting Amalek to save the Yidden. The battle against Amalek was different than any of the other wars. Amalek had to be annihilated, had to be wiped out, which we're going to be talking about this coming perek. It was a holy war, it was a war, Melchama Lashem ba'Amalek. He was supposed to fight Amalek that personified the opposition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't to save Klal Yisrael. But what Shaul ended up doing was fighting Amalek and defeating them and saving Klal Yisrael. But he failed in his mission. He defeated Amalek, but that wasn't the purpose. Vayiyu b'nei Shaul. The sons of Shaul were Yonah, son of Yishvi, Malkishua. These three sons are mentioned. Those are probably the three main sons who assisted him in being king. The son that we're going to talk about later, Ishbosheth, isn't even mentioned. Shaul has another son who actually became the king after him. But that's not mentioned now, because either could be he wasn't prominent at this time, or we'll learn about him later, so it doesn't need to be mentioned now. But these three sons are mentioned. B'shem Shtei Venosav, in the name of his two daughters, Shem HaBechira Meirav, B'shem HaKatan Michal. The oldest one was Meirav, and his second daughter was Michal, which we'll see later on. They play a role in terms of marrying David, and we'll learn about that later. B'shem Esha Shaul, the wife of Shaul, was Achinoam Bas Achimoatz. B'shem Sar Tzvo Aviner, the name of his general was Aviner Ben Ner, the son of Ner Dod Shaul, the uncle of Shaul. In other words, his commander-in-chief was his first cousin, Aviner, who is Avner, as V'kish Avi Shaul, because Shaul's father Kish. B'ner Avi Avner, and Ner the father of Avner, Ben Aviel, they were both the son of Aviel. In other words, their fathers were brothers. And we mentioned already at the beginning, way, way back, at the beginning of Shmuel, Aviel is actually called in Divrei Hayomim Ner. He used to light candles in the streets so people would be able to go at night without stumbling. He was concerned with the tzibur, and he lit Neros. Aviel, it was his name, but he was called Ner. And I guess since he felt that was his merit, he called his son Ner. As he was sort of, that was his nickname. People called him Ner. His actual name was Aviel. He called his son Ner. Now, I'm not sure if this is the reason why, but Ner named his son Avner. Maybe that's to say, you know, Av, my father. This is just my own conjecture. My father's the real Ner. He's the one who... Who's the chus is, he's the one who lit the candles, he's the one who's known as Ner. He might call me Ner, but he's the one who actually lives it. But in any case, Avner was the son of Ner, and he was the first cousin of Shaul, and he was the general. Batiyam ilchoma chazok al plishtim. There was an intense battle against the plishtim, kol yimei Shaul. All the whole reign of Shaul, there was constantly friction and battles between Yisrael and the Plishtim. V'roah Shaul called Ish Gibor, when Shaul saw a mighty warrior, V'chol ben Chayil, a courageous soldier. I saw the article translates it as a military strategist. I'm not sure which one of the Mefarshim mentions that. But when he saw somebody who was capable of battle, by Yasveo Elov, Shaul gathered him to be part of the army. Again, this is a new institution of the king to have a standing army. Klal Yisrael didn't have a standing army under the times of the Shoftim. But this was part of what Shaul did. Now we get into Perek Tezvov, the battle with Amalek. The Torah says, which V'hoyav ba'aniach Hashem alokecha l'cha, when Klal Yisrael finally has a respite from their enemies, and they're in the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us as a nachla, they're commanded to wipe out Timcha Zecher Amalek. That's why these psukim beforehand are critical for understanding the next parsha. Shaul was now finally the absolute king. He had consolidated his malchus. He had defeated the enemies around him. Now was the time to move on to the next step. And that is, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Daf Chof, and the Rambam Paskins, when Bnei Yisrael come into Eretz Yisrael, they have three mitzvahs. One mitzvah is to make a king. They're supposed to appoint a king. And we discussed already, if they're supposed to, there's a mitzvah to make a king, why did Shmuel rebuke the people for asking for a king? But there is a mitzvah to make a king. The second mitzvah is to wipe out the memory, any zecher for Amalek. The third mitzvah is to build the Beis HaMikdash, which we'll see in that order. Shaul was the king. Now he's supposed to wipe out Amalek, and the Beis HaMikdash will be built a little later. Now, what we're going to have to focus on is understanding Shaul, basically, the Gemara said, had one mistake. The mistake that he didn't listen to Shmuel, and he brought the korban in Gilgal that we learned about earlier, and again that he didn't follow exactly what the Novi told him, is all considered one fault, that he sort of acted independently without following exactly what the Novi had said. But David, the Gemara says, actually made more mistakes. For some reason, David's Malchus lasted forever. Malchus Beis David. Mashiach is coming from Malchus Beis David. And Shaul lost the Malchus. So as we learn through the Pesukim, we're going to have to see why, what Shaul did that he lost the Malchus for his one mistake. The Malba mentions that a number of the Malbims in this Perek will be stressing. The Torah says the mitzvah of Amalek is, there are five reasons why one nation will attack another. And they're all alluded to in the one pasuk of the Torah. Sometimes a nation will attack another one to capture the land. The Torah says, you should remember Zochar Eis Asher Asa Lecha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you. You know what they did to you? Baderech, you were on the road. It wasn't like a nation attacked another because they were hoping to take over more land. This wasn't a territorial conquest. Israel was on the road. They had no land at that time. They were Baderech. Sometimes one nation will attack another if they feel threatened. They think the other nation is going to attack them, so they attack first. It's a defensive, sort of a defensive war, and they preempt the enemy. That wasn't the situation here. It was, they were on the road, but Seischem in Mitzrayim. Klai Yisrael just left Mitzrayim. It wasn't like they were near Amalek. They were at the very beginning. They had just left Mitzrayim. Who knows, maybe they won't make it through the desert. And I was, well, why is Amalek all of a sudden agitating to attack them so soon? It wasn't that they were afraid that Klal Yisrael was imminently going to take over their land. Sometimes one nation will attack another if they feel that the other nation is, you know, the propaganda and the press is so negative, and they're constantly scoffing the other nation. They're making fun and they're chepping. Sometimes to preserve their honor, a nation will go to war. But that wasn't the case here. The pasuk says, "Asher korcha baderech." They happened to meet you. Amalek like met you by the road. It wasn't like they had some quarrel with Klal Yisrael, and they had some accounts that they had to settle, and they had some long-standing grievance. Asher korcha baderech. The pasuk writes as if they met you by the road and they decided to attack you. It wasn't like it was they had some type of previous dispute or reason to fight. Occasionally, a nation will attack another to show that they're mighty, sort of as a lesson. You take over the weaker nation, and everybody else should pay attention. That was not the reason of Amalek. Because Vayizanev Becha, they like caught the stragglers, those that were hanging around behind the main camp. Vayizanev Becha, Kol Necheshalim. All those that were stumbling, all those that were weak, acharecha, they attacked the weak people who were behind the camp. So you can't say they were trying to show what a mighty force they are as a warning to the other nations. Vata'ayiv yagayin, you were tired and weary. It wasn't certainly defeating Klal Yisrael at that time would not have sent any message to anybody else. And the last reason why a nation will attack is sometimes for religious reasons, that they feel that there's a mitzvah to wipe out the other country for religious zeal. That wasn't the case. V'lo yorei Elokim. Amalek did it. He wasn't doing it because he had any fear of Hashem and he thought there's a mitzvah. Amalek was doing it for two reasons. None of the other standard reasons for making a war. His reason was, first of all, Shamim Amim Yergozun. The nations heard that Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim with all those miracles. He was out to show that Hashem is not powerful and he can defeat the Bnei Yisrael. It was a war against Hashem. Therefore, Hashem says, it's Milchom al Hashem ba'Amalek, and Emches Zecher Amalek. I Hashem will wipe out Amalek, because Amalek was attacking God. He was attacking Hashem. And the second reason is, because way back when Yaakov stole the brachas and got them away from Esav, Esav sent his son Eliphaz to chase after Yaakov and to kill him. And Eliphaz met Yaakov, and in the end, he took all of Yaakov's wealth, like Chazal bring down. He left Yaakov impoverished, but he didn't kill him. After all, Eliphaz had grown up in the household of Yitzchak. He didn't actually kill Yaakov. But Eliphaz had a son, and that son was Amalek. It says in Parshas Vayishlach, Amalek was carrying on that old grudge against Klal Yisrael. It was war against Klal Yisrael also. Therefore, we have the mitzvah, Timchez Zecher Amalek. Besides the fact that Hashem's going to wipe out Amalek, Klal Yisrael is told that they should wipe out Amalek. Vayomer Perek Tesvov, keeping that in mind, the background reason for Amalek. Vayomer Shmuel El Shol. So now Shmuel said to Shol, Osi Sholach Hashem Limshochach Olamelech. Hashem has sent me to anoint you for a king. Al Amo on his people, Al Yisrael on Klal Yisrael. Meaning you are the one appointed by Hashem. Hashem has an account to settle with Amalek. You are being appointed by Hashem as the king. Va'ato Shma L'kol Divrei Hashem. And now you should hear to the voice of the words of Hashem. Let's just see the second passing, then we'll come back. Ko Omar Hashem Tzvokos. This is what Hashem Tzvokos says. Pokadati, I remember. And the word pokadati means to remember and to act on something. Like Vashem pokad es Sarah. If Hashem remembered Sarah, then afterwards she became pregnant, she became muberes, and she gave birth to Yitzchak. Pokadati is to remember and to act on it. Meaning, I remember Esa Sherasa Amalek Li Yisrael, what Amalek did for Klal Yisrael. Meaning, you're appointed by Hashem as the king, and you're also to fight the battle of Klal Yisrael. Because those are the two points against Amalek, the battle against Hashem, the battle against Klal Yisrael. Asher Som Lo Baderech. Now, out of the different reasons, we mentioned five reasons why normally one nation attacks the other. But the main two reasons we mentioned in the Pasuk, the main reason is to take over land. That was not true. It was Asher Som Lo Baderech, Klal Yisrael was on the road. And the main thing is they feel threatened that the other nation will attack. That wasn't the case. Ba'aloso mi Mitzrayim, because Klal Yisrael had just come up from Mitzrayim. So I remember what Amalek did to Klal Yisrael, and you are supposed to settle the account with Amalek. Now, Amalek, throughout the Prokim before, and in Shoftim, Amalek, you never find, fought by itself against Klal Yisrael. Except for the one incident in the Torah, which is why they deserve to be destroyed. But Klal Yisrael is now hundreds of years later. They've been in Eretz Yisrael almost 400 years. So imagine if somebody were to tell you, you know, we have to settle an account with American Indians, because remember what they did over there in the 1600s when they attacked? It's almost that situation. When the Pasuk says they saved Yisrael miyad shoseyu, from the ones that were oppressing, Amalek, on occasion, joined together with the other enemies, and together with other enemies attacked Klal Yisrael. Now, once one of the other countries was attacking, Amalek joined the battle. It's mentioned in Shoftim Perek Gimel, and again in Shoftim Perek Vav. It mentions that Amalek joined together with others. But Amalek by themselves, for hundreds of years, never attacked Klal Yisrael. It doesn't seem that they were a strong country. We'll see later on, the battle isn't discussed as being a fierce battle or a difficult battle. 1, 2, 3, Shaul won. It wasn't a problem defeating Amalek. Amalek was not a military force. Klal Yisrael had to be inspired to fight Amalek, because the truth is, they had a lot of enemies that gave them more tzaras. In other words, if you would ask people what's the main problem, they would certainly say the Plishtim. The Plishtim, the whole reign of Shaul, they were constantly causing problems, which we discussed in Sefer Shoftim. The main enemy that Klal Yisrael had to deal with is the Plishtim, and we're not even finished with them. We're going to the Plishtim come back again. But right now, we're talking about telling Klal Yisrael, that's it, we have to settle the battle with Amalek because of what they did hundreds of years earlier. Now, the Malba mentions the reason why Shaul is going to be held accountable for his mistake. While certain mistakes David made, and David kept the Malchus, the Malbim gives a mashal. He says, imagine if you had a clerk or a secretary or somebody who was working as a scribe by the king. He has to write up all the official documents. And there's two scribes, two of these soifrim, and they both do something wrong. The first guy is found to be he did a forgery. The guy's in charge of all the official documents, and he tampered with it. And he changed certain numbers and names and played around with the paperwork. The second person did something immoral. Did something in his private life that was terrible. The punishment for those two people, and the Malbim brings this from the Sefer HaIkrim, the punishment would be the person who was doing a good job and was a secretary or a scribe and he was very faithful and diligent in his work, just in his private life, did some Aveira, so he'll get a fine, he'll get a penalty, he'll get a punishment for that, but there's no reason for him to lose his job. He's doing a good job. Okay, he has a fault, he'll get a punishment. The person who was the cipher for the king, the scribe, and he fooled around with the documents, that's it, he lost his job, we can't trust him anymore. If that's your job and you're misusing your position, you're out, they're finished. David HaMelech, in terms of his malchus, served as a king and did everything right. There were certain tainas and certain things that were considered, according to his madrega, a mistake, certain things he did that he shouldn't have, but that didn't affect that he was the proper king. The complaint then, Shaul, was, as a king, he's supposed to wipe out Amalek, he has to follow the Devar Hashem and serve Hashem as the king, and if he fails in his kingly role, if as a king he does something wrong, he can no longer be the king. And that's why we'll see Shaul's actual, the fault was, it was a fault in the wrong area. And which is why he's going to lose the Malchus. So as the king right now, he's given a command. Atonau leich v'hikisa es Amalek. Go and strike Amalek. And it's Beloshen Yochid, not Hikisem, it's Hikisa. You as king, as an individual, it's the mitzvah of you as the leader of the people. Lech v'kisa Amalek. Go and wipe out Amalek. And the Mefarshim discusses the mitzvah of Amalek, a mitzvah on the tzibur. Is it a communal obligation, or is it even on the individual? But certainly it was expected to be done under the leadership of the king, and then could be it devolves on the individuals also. But as king, leich v'hikisa as Amalek, he should strike Amalek. V'hacharam temes kol asher loy. And you have to destroy everything that Amalek has. And this isn't the plural, because when Amalek is wiped out, they're going to have, everyone's going to have access to the spoils. In other words, if Amalek is defeated and they run away, or they're all killed, all the spoils will be available for the taking. Every individual has to know as a group. They have to know. Everyone has to know as a group. Ba'acharam temes kol ashelo, to destroy everything that they have. I believe the following insight I first heard from Rav Gershon Weiss, the menahel in the yeshiva of Staten Island, many years ago. But I heard insights from him on many of the difficult areas to understand in Tanakh. The word cheirem has different meanings. Sometimes the word, the idea in cheirem is you take something and you place it in a position that you no longer have any benefit from it. Sometimes cheirem means to totally destroy, to destroy all of the cities, or destroy all the people, is sometimes called cheirem. Sometimes, like in Parshas Bechukosai, it says cheirem. Maybe close the door. Sometimes cheirem means to segregate, to put something aside only for use of the Kohanim. Like it'll be, it says, Lakoihen kistei hacheirem. They can have a field that's segregated and it's given to the Kohanim. Or there's a pasuk, Kol cheirem kodesh kodoshim hu Lashem. Sometimes the cheirem is kodesh, it's segregated, it's designated for Hashem. So the word cheirem can sometimes mean to destroy, physically annihilate. Sometimes cheirem can mean to give to Hashem, to give to the Kohanim. But it means to take something and place it out of your control. Take something and place it out of your control. That's the idea in cheirem. Here, the command is, v'charamtem es kol asher loy. Everything that Amalek has, you should make a cheirem. Which, the simple meaning is to destroy, and that's exactly what Shaul was supposed to do. But in terms of what happened, and we'll see later on, Shaul didn't destroy everything, and Shaul really thought he did the right thing. It's important to keep in mind that cheirem doesn't, there's more than one meaning to the word. Cheirem can mean you take something and you give it to Hashem. You give it to the Kohanim, you take it away from mundane use, and you put it aside for a higher purpose. But v'acharamtem es kol shelo, you have to destroy everything that's Amalek's. V'lo sachmol olav, and you can't have any pity. Now that's a very difficult mitzvah to tell a Jew. Don't have any pity. And in fact, the Malba mentions there are no exact synonyms in Lashon HaKodesh. Every word has its own purpose, has its own nuances of meaning. The word rachamim, he says, is normally one person to another. If you feel bad for somebody else, you don't want to see them suffering, that's the idea in rachamim. You don't want to see somebody else destroyed, somebody else suffering. There's another word in Lashon HaKodesh called chemla. I don't know in English what the words they use. In English, they just usually, all the words have, you know, I don't know the difference between compassion and pity, so I don't know which word is more appropriate. But in Lashon HaKodesh, chemla, you have the word chemla, and sometimes you have the word chusa. Chusa means you care about something because it can serve you. It has a benefit to you. Like chus rachmona al mamoinim shal Yisrael. Hashem cared that Jewish money shouldn't go to waste. And sometimes you find certain, and in certain areas, the Torah cared about your money that you shouldn't have that loss. That's called chus. Chemla means just you care about something just because you don't feel it's right for them to be destroyed. Not because you're going to have any benefit, not because of the feelings of one person to another. It was understood when Shaul wipes out Amalek, as one person to another, rachamim, he might have a feeling of rachmanis. He feels bad another Jew, another human, not a Jew, another person is being killed. And we'll see even the children, everyone, he could feel a rachamim. In fact, he might even feel the feeling of lo sochus. He might have a certain type of feel bad that all of that wealth and everything that he's destroying, that could have, it's a shame to see it go to waste. He might have a feeling of chusa, that he would have liked to save it. But what he should not have is the feeling of chemla. And that is to think to himself, it's wrong. How can you go ahead and just destroy all this. They didn't do anything wrong. It's been hundreds of years. It's their ancestors. What kind of an understanding for the mitzvah? The mitzvah bothers me. How can I have such a mitzvah? It just doesn't seem right. V'lo sach mo'olav. He's not allowed to have that feeling of chemla. It's a mitzvah to wipe out Amalek, and as much as we can understand, the truth is, it's difficult for us to understand. Especially, you know, a Jew is influenced. The Yiddish saying, V'yas krishtelzach, asidelzach, you know. Well, what happens by the goyim sort of has an effect on the yidden. You're living in a certain surroundings. And certainly people who grew up in the Western civilization nowadays, where you don't go ahead and blow yourself up, and you don't go ahead and crazily attack and do everything in the name of a holy war, it strikes as a very difficult to understand with a Western mindset how there could be such a mitzvah. But since Amalek was the one who attacked Klal Yisrael, and they attacked Hashem, and that was the whole purpose of their battle, there's a mitzvah to wipe out Amalek. And it's difficult, but v'lo sach mo'olav. Your feelings, you might feel bad as a person getting killed. You might feel, oh, you have your own feelings you could have gained from all that. That's not the problem. The problem is the mitzvah shouldn't bother you at all. It shouldn't, if the v'lo sach mo'olav don't have that feeling of chemla, how can it be that they're being killed just, you know, the Western civilization nowadays, where you don't go ahead and blow yourself up, and you don't go ahead and crazily attack and do everything in the name of a holy war. It strikes as a very difficult to understand with a Western mindset how there could be such a mitzvah. But since Amalek was the one who attacked Klal Yisrael, and they attacked Hashem, and that was the whole purpose of their battle, there's a mitzvah to wipe out Amalek. And it's difficult, but v'lo sach mo'olav. Your feelings, you might feel bad as a person getting killed. You might feel, oh, you have your own feelings you could have gained from all that. That's not the problem. The problem is the mitzvah shouldn't bother you at all. It shouldn't, if the v'lo sach mo'olav don't have that feeling of chemla, how can it be that they're being killed just, you know, for no reason, just to kill them? But v'heimata me'ish Adisha. You should kill from man to woman, the woman being the weaker of the two. Me'olel, and the even weaker of Me'olel is like the little child who always gets dirty crawling around. Vad Yonek, and those that even more helpless, the nursing babies. Mishor Vad Sef, from an ox till even a little sheep. Migomol is the animals that are tummy animals, can't be used for food, can't be eaten, can't be a korban. From migomol, from a camel, v'ad chamor, to the donkey, they have to be totally wiped out. Now this is a chiddush, because when the Torah says zecher, timcha zecher Amalek, you have to wipe out the memory of Amalek, the Rambam paskins and the Chinuch paskins, wiping out the memory of Amalek means the men and the women. That doesn't say in the Torah you have to wipe out the animals. Now Rashi in Chumash mentions you have to wipe out the animals, probably based on this pasuk, because you hear Shmuel is telling over the mitzvah of wiping out Amalek, and he mentions wiping out the animals. Must be the memory of Amalek includes the animals. But the simple reading of the pasuk in the Torah would not include the animals. The memory of Amalek simply means the people. Why are they wiping out the animals? So for that, there's two reasons mentioned. The Radak mentions that the animals is, people shouldn't see that donkey or that ox and say, oh, that sure is from Amalek, or that ox is from Amalek. People still remember them as long as their possessions are around. So part of wiping out the memory is destroying the animals. Another reason could be because Rashi mentions here that the people in Amalek did kishuf, this type of sorcery, and they were able to transform themselves into animals. So you might go ahead and see an ox, and it could be that ox is really a person who somehow, with this black magic type of things, is really a person who appears like an animal. With kishuf. I say nowadays we don't have it, so it doesn't seem to make sense to us. But that's what, well, with Kishuf they were able to do that, and therefore you have to wipe out all the animals because you don't know who's Amalek. But in the Torah, you wouldn't have assumed that you have to wipe out the animals. Another purpose could be in wiping out the animals is showing that Klal Yisrael is not going into this battle for personal gain. They're not going to get anything out of it. All the livestock, all the animals, this is not for any personal benefit. This is simply because it's a mitzvah of wiping out a Molech. That's the message. Vayashama Shol Esa'om, so Shol gathered the people, he summoned them. Vayivkadeim Batloim, and he counted them. It could be Batloim is the name of the place. He was in that location. And the place Tloim, he counted the people. Masayim Elefragli, there were 200,000 soldiers. Baseres Alof Mesish Yehuda with 10,000 from Yehuda. I'm not sure exactly, but it's interesting when Shaul fought his battle earlier in Perek Yud Aleph against Ammon, he was able to put together an army of 300,000. Over here, it's only 200,000. And it was only like a year later, but the army's a lot smaller. But he still, it's a tremendous army of 200,000. By Yifkedeim, by Tloim, he counted them. Also, Tloim can mean sheep. You're not supposed to count the Jews, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Count them by number. What you do is, just like if everyone would give a machzis ha-shekel, you give a coin and you count the coins, here also, they gave sheep, and then the sheep were counted. And Chazal learned out in Yuma, on Daf Chof Beis, earlier when he fought the enemy, it says, Shaul counted his men, Vayifkedeim Bevozek. He used pebbles, he used stones, he used something like that to count. Now that he's the leader of Klal Yisrael, there's a special Siyata Dishmaya, and he's also wealthy. He has enough sheep that everybody was able to use the king's sheep. Everyone was told, take one of the sheep and put it on the side and we'll count it up. He had 200,000 sheep. And everyone took one. The Targum, by the way, says, Umaninun b'imre pischaya. He counted them using the sheep used for the Korban Pesach. So the Radak mentions that it could be this happened at the time of Pesach. And once he had to count them anyways, he provided everyone with a sheep that they could bring it for their Korban Pesach. Now, I don't know if according to that pshat, everybody took their own sheep, or normally by the Korban Pesach, you get together a group over a sheep. So it could mean, they had a standard number of people that would share a sheep, like the Gemara in Pesachim, on Daf Samach Dalet, mentions that they used to, one year they wanted to know how many Yidden there were. So what they did was they saved the kulia, the kidney, from the Korban Pesach, and they counted up how many kloyos there were, how many kidneys, kulios. So here also could be let's say you knew there were 10 people sharing a teleh, and you had 20,000 teloim, so that would tell you have 200,000 people. Whatever the case is, Shaul counted the people using these teloim, and he had 200,000. Besides Aseres Alof Mesish Yehuda was Choshev, and they're like counted separately. There were 2,000. There was 10,000 from Yehuda. The Malbim says this pasuk is telling you another important rule. Shaul is going to say how he was Kiyoresiasam. He was afraid of the people. The people wanted to take all of the booty from Amalek, and he didn't protest. This pasuk is telling you, first of all, Shaul, it wasn't much of an excuse that you're afraid of the people. Shaul summoned the people to come to war, and they came. And he put together a tremendous army. So when he said something, the people listened. And if he tells them this is a command from the Navi Shmuel, the people wouldn't take the goats and the sheep, and they would desist. So first of all, he can't say that the people wouldn't listen to him. They did listen. He put together the army. That's first of all. Second of all, you can't say that he was poor because the people needed the animals because he counted them using the sheep. he obviously had a tremendous amount of wealth. Tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of sheep. So it wasn't like the people were impoverished and they didn't have. The king himself was able to give everybody a sheep, but for such wealth, it's not an argument that the people really had such a strong desire. In other words, the money wasn't a problem, wasn't an object. Vayovo Shol ad Yir Amalek. Shol came to the city of Amalek, Vayorev Banochal. The simple meaning is he had a skirmish, they started the battle, Banachal in the valley. The Rashi brings down from Chazal, Vayorev, it was actually an internal struggle. Shol was having a very hard time with this mitzvah. Vayorev, he had an internal battle. How can I go ahead and wipe out Amalek? There's a mitzvah in the Torah. If a person is found killed, and he's between two cities, and it's not known who killed him, so it's not enough to just send out a bunch of detectives and try to find the criminal. If they don't find the rotzeach, they don't find the murderer, they don't know what happened, there's a whole procedure with the Sanhedrin. They have to get together the Zakenim of the cities, the whole parsha of Egla Arufa, and they have to bring a kapara for Klal Yisrael because somebody died, and that's when it's not even known who did it. It could be the person's didn't even come from these cities, but maybe they were to blame. They didn't send him out with food, they didn't accompany him, and they mention how they're innocent of those faults. But the Torah is so worried about one person who's killed and you don't know what happened that you have the whole parsha of Egla Arufa. Here I should go ahead and wipe out a whole nation? If a person sinned, why are you killing the behemoths? If it could be the adults, the gedolim have a fault, why are you killing the children? This whole mitzvah was difficult to show. Vayorev banochal. He had this internal fight in the valley. He's right by the city of the Amalek. Should he go ahead and do it or not? On one hand, he had to do it. On the other hand, this mitzvah didn't seem right to him. The truth is, this is an example. I think the two, the pshat and the drusha, fit in beautifully together. The Mefarshim mention that normally when one country attacks another, there has to be, people have to feel that they're justified in doing something. In other words, what is the reason why you're attacking another nation? They'll send a warning. They'll say, oh, you did this, even if it's not true. But they'll come up with a story that's supposed to justify what they're doing. Even like you take Hitler, yamach shemay. In other words, he didn't just go one day and say, that's right, you got to kill all the Jews. It was a few years of propaganda. The Jews are ruining the country. Whatever he said about anything about that he said about the Jews to build up a sort of feeling that the Jews are hurting the Germans and therefore they're justified in doing their terrible things. A person has to sort of justify what he's doing in order to do it. Just to go ahead and attack, it doesn't seem right. Oh, so hold on. So why did he do this? I think the two pshatim go together. Shol didn't feel comfortable going ahead and just wiping out Amalek. He was, in fact, Vayorev Banochal, he had an internal battle. He didn't feel that this is sort of the right thing. On the other hand, he had to go. So you know what he did? He went by the valley, outside the city, and they started some skirmish over some minor thing. Maybe they're arguing who gets the water that's in the Nachal. They argued about some minor issue. They had a skirmish, a little battle in the Nachal. This wasn't the war yet. But what happened is, in order they start off small and chepping. Now all of a sudden they said, oh, Amalek, you know, it's like imagine if Klal Yisrael hit Amalek and then Amalek hit back harder or whatever. So, oh, Amalek is starting up. We already have to go and do something. But he had to start this skirmish to sort of feel justified in the major war that he's going to do. And that was the complaint. Because Shol was supposed to just go and wipe out Amalek. And that's lo sachmol. He's not supposed to show pity. He's not supposed to. That is the mitzvah. And you can study and try to figure out the rationale. But the bottom line is a mitzvah is a mitzvah and he's got to do it. And to try to justify it and to come up with some excuse that he feels more comfortable with it was wrong. But Vayorev Banochal, Vayomushol Lakeni, this already excelled in. He had a hard time wiping out Amalek. But at the time of war, he remembered favors that were done hundreds of years earlier. Vayomer Shol al Akeni. Shol said to the people, the Keni, Lechu, go, Suru Redu, turn and go down, Mitoch Amaleki. Separate yourself from Amalek. Penosiv Chaimo, because if you're with Amalek, you might be killed and destroyed together with them. Vato Sisa Chesedim Kol B'nei Yisrael. You did Chesed with the whole Jewish people. Ba'alosami Mitzrayim, when they came up from Mitzrayim. Keni came from Yisro. Yisro is the one, Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law. Keni, the people of Keni descended from Yisro. And Yisro did a favor with all of Klal Yisrael. They were Balei Chesed. They did a Chesed. They're the exact opposite of Amalek, who was cruel and attacked for no reason other than to go against Hashem and Klal Yisrael. No, you're the opposite. Vayosar Keni mitoch Amalek. Keni separated, they moved away from Amalek, and they weren't part of it. And therefore they were spared, they weren't killed. What's the chesed he did with all of Bnei Yisrael? The simple meaning is, he did a chesed with all of Bnei Yisrael because Yisro went out to the desert to greet Moshe Rabbeinu. And he picked himself up and he went out to welcome him. That's a chesed. He gave him all advice with the shoftim. He was concerned about the benefits of Klal Yisrael. He had a simcha when he heard that Klal Yisrael was saved from Mitzrayim by Yichad Yisrael. The simple meaning is he felt that joy. That's the chesed that he did. Another pshat is, Rashi says he made a suda. They had a suda with Moshe and Aaron and all of the zakenim. So if you make a suda for the leaders and for the zakenim of Klal Yisrael, that's like a simcha with all of Klal Yisrael. A chesed with all of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Yisro's descendants shouldn't be killed with Amalek, and therefore, Shol made sure that they separated. Vayach Shol as Amalek, Shol struck Amalek, me Chavila bo'ach Ashur, from Chavila coming on the approach to the city Shur, Asher al Pnei Mitzrayim, which was before the country of Mitzrayim. This is in the south. Amalek was in the south of Eretz Yisrael. This is where this all took place. Vayispos es Agog melech Amalek choy. And he grabbed Agog, the king of Amalek, live. Veskol ha'am hechrim lefi chorev. The rest of the people were all destroyed by the edge of the sword. Now, as everyone else was killed, the one person he took alive was Agog. And we mentioned the Pasuk earlier, when he was told about doing the battle with Amalek, the words in the Pasuk were, go and strike Amalek in Pasuk Gimel, v'acharamtem es kol asher lo, make everything that he has a cheirem, v'heimatan, you should kill, from man to woman, kill them all. It could be, cheirem means first take them and designate them, put them aside. Don't just kill them in war, but they should be put aside and then afterwards killed by the commandment of Hashem. It shouldn't look like it's a haphazard thing. In the heat of battle, they got killed. But no. First, v'acharamta, make them a cheirim, put them aside, and then there's a mitzvah to kill them. So, could be taking Agag alive. After all, he was the leader. This would be a big Kiddush Hashem if afterwards, just like Beis Din, the Sanhedrin has to kill somebody. We'll have a Nuremberg trial, and we'll take these terrible Rishoyim of Amalek, and after they're sentenced, then we'll make a public thing, and he's killed. Not just he happens to be killed like one of the other thousands. So it could be he felt it was okay to take Agog, which we'll see in a moment, was wrong. Vayachmol, that word, the Navi knew that this would be difficult. And indeed, Vayachmol, they had pity. Shaul v'ho'om, Shaul and the people, they all had this chemla al Agog, toward Agog. V'almeitav hatzoin, and about the good sheep. V'habokar, and the cattle. V'hamishnim, mishnim is the fattened up oxen, the fattened up cattle. Comes from the word like sheni, or mishne. It's double, because they were doubled over with fat. These were fattened animals, they're Mishnim. Valakorim are the fattened up sheep. Valkotav and all the good things. Vlaovu Hachrimom, and they didn't want to destroy them. There's a feeling, in other words, it's like such a waste, such a Baal Tashchis. A feeling, how can you go ahead and just destroy it all? And you should know, by the way, Baal Tashchis, there's a mitzvah from the Torah, you're not allowed to waste something. That serves a function. But when it comes to halacha, if somebody's not using something because of the halacha, Baal Tashchis doesn't play a role. In other words, if somebody has some question comes up, let's say you don't know if something's kosher or not, and it's a question, maybe you could eat it, maybe you can't eat it. Now, let's say you had a piece of meat, the old shayla, and it's not glatt kosher. They asked the Rav the shayla, and the Rav checked, and he said, you can eat it. It's kosher, you can eat it. But if a guy decides, you know, he doesn't want to eat the meat, because the Rav, it was a question, and the Rav said it's kosher, he doesn't want to eat it, he's just going to throw the meat in the garbage. That's not Baal Tashchis. Ah, you're allowed to eat it, how are you going to let it go to waste? The answer is, it's serving a very important function. It's strengthening your Yira Shemayim. And if a guy is not eating it because he has to serve Hashem, he doesn't want to eat it, he doesn't have to worry about Baal Tashchis. You know, sometimes you have that feeling, a guy's on a diet and you see a piece of cake and you say, you know, Baal Tashchis, the cake is going to get stale, and you know, it's a shame to let it go to waste. But the truth is, it's always nice to rationalize like that. But if a guy's doing it for a beneficial purpose, it's not Baal Tashchis. Over here, they're all being wiped out because that's the mitzvah. But it bothered them. It's just like such a shame. All of this good stuff, lo'avu hachrimu, they didn't want to destroy that all. V'chol ha'malocha, everything that served a purpose, like you could work with it, all the animals, nemivza, that was like despised, v'nomes, and it was wretched, all the bad animals, oisa hachrimu, that they destroyed. Or is anything that was no good, they destroy. Everything that was good, they saved. They saved the best. Now we'll see. The problem wasn't they weren't looking at it for themselves. We're going to see. Their intention was they were going to bring karbonos. They were going to use it to serve Hashem. But we'll see. The command was to wipe them out, not to decide what they want to do with it. But that was that feeling. It's just like a shame to let that all go to waste. Vayhi Devar Hashem al Shmuel Eimar. The Devar Hashem, the word of Hashem, came to Shmuel saying. And by the way, this, it says Vayachmol Shol V'ha'am, what we just had in Pasuk Tes. Shol and the people had pity on Agog. We're going to see later on, the people, is referring to Doeg Ha'adomi, who was, in general, it's something that we're going to come up against, and there was one of David HaMelech's big nisyonos, that David's opposition was not the Amoratzim. David was not opposed by the people who didn't know better and who didn't know anything. And David HaMelech was opposed by some of the greatest Chachmei HaTorah, some of the greatest people. And they all said David HaMelech is no good. And David HaMelech knew what he was doing is correct, but it's very difficult to have your derech and avodas Hashem, and you're being opposed by Gedolim. And we're going to have that later with Doeg Ha'adomi, who opposed David. But right now, this was the same Doeg. Doeg was the head of the Sanhedrin. He was one of the greatest Chachomim. And again, Shmuel told something to Shaul. Doeg didn't hear what Shmuel told Shaul. Doeg knows what it says in the Torah, Timcha Zecher Amalek. And Doeg was his own. It was his own great, great chacham, and he felt that maybe Shaul. I don't know exactly how he rationalized it, but as far as he wasn't aware, it wasn't like he got a nevuah from Hashem. It wasn't like it was told to him. Doeg is part of the here. Vayachmol Shaul v'ha'om al Agog. I say Rashi mentions it later on in the perek in Chof Dalet. Rashi says, when Shaul said, I was afraid of the people, he meant Doeg. It wasn't just that Shaul was afraid of the common people. But to oppose somebody like Doeg, he didn't feel the strength. Doeg also felt, there's nothing wrong with taking the sheep. No, it's good stuff, you'll take it and use it to serve Hashem. And again, it doesn't mention that there was any part. The Pesukim don't talk about the battle at all. It was like the war was won without a problem. That wasn't the issue. Amalek wasn't strong. They just won without a problem. So, now, Vayhi Devar Hashem al Shmuel. Lamor, the Devar Hashem came to Shmuel saying, Nichamti, I have regret, I have nechoma. A change of mind, Kaviyachol. Ki imlachti ashol umelach. I regret that I ever made Shaul the king. Now sometimes, if things are going in a certain path, and a person does an Aveira, so sometimes a guy does an Aveira, and that warrants a punishment, Klal Yisrael, let's say, is keeping the Torah and mitzvahs and everything is good, and then if the people starts to sin, so that's it, so then punishment comes. It's not called nimlachti, I changed my mind, kaviyochol. There's nothing to change your mind about. In other words, when things were good. And when people did aveiros, they get a punishment. It's not a change of plan. Somehow what Shaul did wasn't the pshat that Hashem said, well, he was king and everything was fine, but now you did an aveira, you lose it. This fault of Shaul was so terrible. It's like the whole idea, in other words, we made him a king that he should lead the people in the Derech Hashem, following what Hashem says, following the words of the Navi. And this fault wasn't his private fault. It wasn't a private Aveira, like we mentioned earlier in this year. This was the whole purpose of the king. There's a mitzvah, you make a king, and then you wipe out Amalek, and the king is supposed to do what he's supposed to do as a king. Here he's failing at the whole purpose of Malchus. The whole monarchy was a mistake. Somebody like Shaul, the whole thing was wrong. The whole purpose of the king is unfulfilled. Nichamti, I regret, I have a change of mind, kaviyochol. Again, not that Hashem knows in advance this was going to happen. Shaul had Bechira, and Hashem knew it was going to happen. And the people wanted a king, and this is the way it had to evolve. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to start off that David HaMelech, they asked for a king, which was a mistake, and then you have David. The mistake is played out with somebody else. And this way, David starts, and he'll be Malchus based David, that's forever. But it was a mistake, they asked for a king. Hashem knew all this was going to happen. But it says Nichamti, because this is the way we would perceive it. Almost as if Kaviyachol, if it be possible, try to imagine as if it was a mistake, and as if Hashem, if you would be doing it, it would be called Nichamti. That's the way Hashem sort of wants us to understand it. The whole Malchus was a mistake. Nichamti kim lachti yashol melech. It was a mistake that I made Shaul the king. Kishov me acharai. He turned away from after me. Ve'estavarai lo hekim, and he didn't fulfill my words. It could be it means, because there was two times that Shaul that didn't listen to Shmuel. One is he brought the Karbanos in Gilgal and he didn't wait for Shmuel, and now it's a Kishov Me'acharai, and now Vestavari Lohekim, he didn't wipe out Amalek. Could be that's the double expression. The Malba mentions Kishov Me'acharai, meaning in his thought, it's a lack of his emunah that the Novi told him to wipe out Amalek and to do this, and he didn't follow. There's a lacking in following the words of the Navi, in his like emunah in the words of the Navi. Kishav me'acharai. And in practice, Vestavari Lohekim, he didn't do his job. Vayichar li Shmuel. Shmuel was very angry. Vayizak el Hashem kol ha'loyel, and he cried out to Hashem the whole night. Now, it doesn't say in the pasuk, could be Shmuel didn't even realize exactly what Shaul did wrong. Or as Hashem just told him, Shaul turned away from me, he didn't do my word. That's all Shmuel was told. But Shmuel had been the one who had chosen Shaul. And he had put so much into him. And he had made him the king. And he knew that Shaul was the best. And that when Shaul was chosen to be the king, he was perfect. And Shmuel knew there was nobody as good as him. And it bothered Shmuel. Vayichal Shmuel, he was angry. He was so upset about this. He cried out to Hashem the whole night. And by the way, the Michtav Me'ilio points out, in terms of chesed, you know, a person would know if a person has parents and children, usually his love for his children is greater than toward the parents. of people have a stronger feeling toward their children than they do to their parents. And Rav Dessler explains, because the parents do so much for you, you have a certain level of appreciation. For the children, you do so much for your children, you've invested so much into them, there's a stronger bond. You know, logically, you might not think it should be like this. But if somebody does you a favor, you appreciate it. If you do a favor for them, you have a much stronger, it's like you have an investment. I care about them. If you help somebody, in fact, he mentions, what do you do if you're supposed to do chesed for you're supposed to care about other Jews, help everyone out. What happens if you don't feel like that? Love your neighbor like yourself. What happens if you don't love him? You actually find him kind of irritating. You know, you don't love him. The answer is, you got to do him a favor. If you don't like him, do him a favor. Do him a chesed. And if you do for him, with the purpose of developing a care for him, what you invest in him will give you that feeling that you'll develop a bond and you'll start to love him and to like him and to care about him. After all, the Gemara says, a parent is not jealous of his child, and a Rebbe is not jealous of his Talmud. In other words, if you've taught him, if you've helped him, if you've encouraged him, if the more you put into him, the more you care about him. Shmuel had that feeling for sure. This was the king that he made. And now the king, Hashem said, that's it, nichamti, I regret it. Shmuel was upset and he cried out the whole night. And we'll see what happens when Shmuel meets Shaul and rebukes him for what happened. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.